Folks, it's now very clear that the government and the GHQ Interpass thugs have decided to kill Imran Khan. I think he probably has few days to left, because today the worst interior minister of Pakistan, Rana Sanaullah, has directly threatened Imran Khan. And he has openly said that we will kill him and we will not let him take over us or kill us. Now, there is no such plan or thinking or even any comment from Imran Khan that he's going to kill anybody in PMLN. But because the PMLN is exactly doing what GHQ wants them to do, they have no choice but threat one after the other and make sure that Imran Khan is eliminated. Next couple of days, Supreme Court is going to see how the PMLN government can violate the constitution and extend the date of the election in two assemblies. While the constitution is very clear that they have to hold election in 90 days. To get over this serious issue, they are going to create another serious issue, and that will be to kill Imran Khan. And when the aftermath of it, which will result in a civil war and the biggest crisis this country is seeing before being annihilated, will be wide open. And there is no way the country can survive the assassination of Imran Khan. They have put more than 150 frivolous cases against him, and then want him to come to court without any security. They have put Section 144 in Islamabad or wherever he has to go to the court, and then they will take an opportunity when he does not have enough security around him to kill him. This is very, very strong possibility. That is how he is going to be eliminated. And with that, Pakistan will be eliminated. Because there is no way you can have a nation or united nation when the most famous, most loved one political leader is assassinated in cold blood. This is going to be worse than the assassination of Benazir or killing of Bhutto and whatnot. And this country will be no more in the next few months as I see it. Because there is no way this country can survive the turmoil and the killing among Pakistanis after the assassination of Imran Khan. I hope it does not happen, but all the evidence is telling us that the time of Imran Khan has come and there is no way he can survive this onslaught by the most corrupt intelligence agency, the killer army, and the GHQ. This is their grave or Imran Khan's grave. That is so evident. And now PMLN has decided to be part of that and now playing their part in that assassination. And then after that, the military men might come on TV and say, Mere Aziz Hum Batano, Mulk Bahut Nazuk Dor Se Guzar Raha Hai, Isliye Humne Anan Hukumat Sambhal Li Hai. And then they will come out in force and make sure that no procession is happens and the trouble is as less as possible. But that is not going to work, because some foreign forces are looking for this opportunity when 220 million Pakistanis are against the GHQ thugs and they are against the 220 million people. The next few months will definitely make sure that Pakistan loses big chunk of this country and it only remains to the limit of Punjab, where they will again declare it new Pakistan and then will try to survive. This is what exactly going to happen. Thanks to the shit of religion and the Mullah gang and the GSU gang, which made sure Pakistan could not follow any human right, any woman right, any friendship to international community, and never followed the basic United Nations Charter. And this country, which Saudi is forced to be the testing ground of the shit of Islamic laws, is going to end up in disgrace. There is no way this country can survive, because the country is economically bankrupt, socially bankrupt, and the worst of it is in a position that no one in the world believes in this country. Even IMF, who was supposed to make some agreement in March, is not going to do it. And it is impossible the country can find any more excuse to exist, because there is no excuse for Pakistan to exist as a country. It has to be divided, it has to be annihilated, and it has to face the wrath of the world, which follow civilized ideology, civilized thinking, civilized way of governing, which Pakistan is far, far, far away. This is a country where the shit of religion has enveloped everybody, every corner of the country. And that is why the country is in such a dire situation economically. Because when the country is in the shit of religion, they cannot produce jobs. They cannot provide justice. They cannot provide competition. And they will never allow merit. The religion basically creates a dictatorial environment where the powerful and the mullahs are in control. And the poor are only a fodder for their stupidity and are killed with impunity. Women killed and beaten with impunity. And that is what has been happening in Muslim world for more than 1500 years. Muslim society has never seen a day of peace and human right, because nobody has human right in Islam. Islam is all about an absolute thuggery and the power for the powerful only. That is why 55 Muslim countries and none of them have real democracy. Even the half progressing country like Malaysia, Indonesia, Bangladesh, Turkey are unable to provide full human rights to their nation. They are signatory of UN Charter, but they don't follow UN Charter at all. So in this situation, there is no way the country can survive and it can remain a country. After Pakistan, it will be some other nations which will face the same fate. They are also unable to sustain themselves, because the shit of Islam has totally disallowed them to create any jobs. If you look into the job industry of the world, you will see that the billions of dollars these countries create and make billions of dollar taxes are basically everything about human rights. When you give rights, people participate in sports, in cultural activities, they go out and then celebrate and enjoy their life. Enjoying life is haram in Islam. That is why the kids are said, oh, 5 times prayer karo, ho sake to qaza namaz padho, ho sake to tahajjud ki namaz padho, and in this Ramadan tarawih padho, ghar aao aur so jao. There is no life for anybody in this country. While the rest of the world, particularly the civilized world, let people live according to age. When they are kid, they are kid. They remain as kid. They enjoy life as kid. Nobody mutilates them and do khatna or slash their lulli. So they live in this world with confidence. They learn that rule of law is very important. From day one, they learn that the girls and boys have the same right and you have to respect each other's space. No discrimination can be done on the basis of color, creed, sexual orientation, or ethnicity. Everybody gets equal education, free education, and provided proper food in the lunch. And that is why they create leaders. While in Pakistan, the culture, the shit of religion creates beggars, creates depressed people. And that is why that this military gang is able to suppress them. We have millions of scared people who are more scared about hereafter than scared about their life and their rights, because they know they have no rights. Everybody in power can harass them, can beat them, can kill them with impunity. And many does, and then they get away because of the Islamic Sharia laws which allow powerful to kill anybody and then get away with this by paying them money, by asking forgiveness and forgive them in the name of Allah and all that bullshit. That is why the state is unable to provide any right to the poor. And unless if you give right to poor, there is no way that you can do anything in this life. You will remain as a slave. You will remain as a backwards person. You will remain mentally illiterate. That is why we see that in civilized world, nobody talks about religion. If somebody want to read about religion, they have a subject. If somebody want to excel in religion, they can go after the high school and have a degree in theocracy or religious activities or whatever, from where they go to churches and still follow the rule of law and do not harass anybody, do not ask to kill anybody or beat women and whatnot. While in Pakistan, when a mullah, an ignorant, illiterate bastard is created, he harasses the whole community and he blackmails the whole community. He tells them, give me money or I'm gonna bring fatwa against you. And literally they harass people to an extent that people don't even want to talk to them, because even talking to them can bring a big fatwa against them. Forget about the discussion with the mullah. Forget about any competition with the mullah. You have to only surrender to these thugs or let them do what they are doing. because they have GSQ behind them. They can bring big mob against anybody and then make him run from his house. They can burn his house, which they have done scores of times. I mean, they don't not only burn the house, they burn people inside it alive. This is how savage and barbaric these jobless crooks are. And they are sponsored by GSQ. In a country like Pakistan, they have so much power, they can attack anybody. They can attack any social activity. You cannot have an entertainment in this country. Even if you play sports, you are at risk. And we have seen what Taliban did to Pakistani soccer team when they were playing in soccer in shorts. They came, catch them, shave their heads, and put them in jail. Just because playing soccer, and maybe they were playing soccer during the prayer time. This is how bad the society has turned into. While in civilized world, the economy is based on sports, based on cultural activities, entertainment. I mean, just the economy in US for bars and a normal restaurant is over $600 to $700 billion. Twice as much the economy of the whole country of Pakistan. Sports generate over $900 billion industry. I mean, this is unbelievable that the religious people or GSQ Interpass thugs, they don't see that they are digging and they have dug their own country's grave by forcing the shit of religion on them. Because the religion does not allow any entertainment. Religion tells people you have to work for hereafter. You have a few days left and better leave our behind. Or leave our behind. And whatever you earn, give us our share. Whatever you save, go to Hajj and Umrah and enrich our masters, the Saudis. And we see the people going in droves, particularly these military generals. As soon as they are sworn in, they go for Mecca, for Umrah. And the door of Mecca is open for them. Because the bigger the crook you are, the Saudis will open their Mecca door faster for them, for you. And they will say, okay, no matter what you do, but just keep supporting our mullahs and keep supporting Hajj and Umrah goers and don't say anything about it. I mean, there was a program on a TV yesterday which showed that just Umrah is costing now millions. And the most expensive hotels created by Saudi gangs are worth ₹1 million for just 2 weeks. This is how expensive they are. And they are sold or rented according to the direction of Mecca. If it is in the direction of Mecca, if you can pray from 16th story in the direction of Mecca, you pay more. If it is not facing the Mecca, you pay less. This is how this religion, this shitty religion, is being sold to the ignorant Muslims of Pakistan. Well, I have said a million times, Mecca is an absolute fake building. There is no history that Abraham ever came and could have built. There is no history that Ismail was thrown on the mountain of Mecca from his slave girls. Because when her mother, wife Hajra, was pregnant, she got jealous with the slave girl which she had presented to Abraham. And when the slave girl bore the child, he said, you have to throw her out. So Abraham took the slave girl and the child and threw him in the desert. Not a prophetic action, but this is how the Torah says. This is how the Jews believe. And then after that, he said that, and after that, the Jews said he came back, while the Muslims said, no, he threw the Ismail in Mecca, and then Ismail was pushing his legs, and then the water spring came up, and all that nonsense. And then the Abraham came one more time, and then he built the Mecca with him. Folks, this story makes no sense at all. That is why I have said, no matter which history you read, whether you read Bible, whether you read Torah, or whether you read any other historian, there is no mention of Mecca before, even after 1500 years, or actually 1900 years of the death of Abraham. Only the year 200 AD, there is a mention of Mecca with a European traveler who passed by that area. And he said that this is a small town called Mecca, and the Christians are the rulers of that land. Yemeni Christians, that's what he wrote. But then the next 300 years, we saw Quraysh came in, and then they ruled the Mecca area. And then after that, this drama of Islam came, and then the Mecca became the first house of Allah, which it is not, because the declaration of first house of Allah is only 1500 years old, while the God, if there is any, is billions and billions of years old, if there is any. I mean, the science is still trying to find who the creator is, or what is, how the earth was created. But Allah has no control over it, no rule over it, and it is just a homemade deity, because Allah was the name of an idol which the family of Muhammad used to pray, along with few other idols. Now we hear a lot that there were 330 idols, while the fact is this 120 square yard building cannot even have 10 idols. Forget about 330. This is no way you can put 330 idols in a building of 120 square yard. This is all made up and has no fact behind it. And the only way you can understand this drama is by looking into history, reading the history, and knowing that you have been fooled big time. And I explained in the past many times the reason why Mecca became important, because the ideology of Arabs who created their imperialism was very simple. They called their war as Jihad fi sabilillah, and then forced every poor man to go to war for them. They say, oh, if you die, you're gonna be going to 72 Huris, and if you are victorious, you will get the part of the booty. Because in those days, particularly the early days, the Arab attackers used to take out everything. If they conquer a town, they take their women, kill their men, they take their kids, they take their cattle, and they declare that land as our property. And then these warriors, the poor warriors, they are given some part of it. And the 20% goes to Muhammad, and then the 80% is divided among the people. This is how the Arab imperialism started, and it continued for over 100 years. And then after that, they realized that they cannot own everything, so then they started working with their occupants or the real owners, and then went on to expand their empire to be one of the biggest, over 6 million square miles. And this was all done by Umayyads, who Shias hate, because the Shia, they support Ali, and Ali was a very inept and illiterate person, same like Muhammad. Because when Muhammad died, Ali was only 27 years old, and he had no role in that society. Only when he tried to become caliph, he failed one after the other. And after, when Osman was killed, he had some reasonable position, but the Umayyads, they knew that a mullah cannot run this empire, because Ali and Muhammad and his father and their grandfather, they were all mullahs. They have no idea how the international politics works, or how the business works, or how the economy works. They have been living on sadaqa and khairat all their life, begging all their life, and if it was not the Umayyad, the Arab Empire will collapse and crumble in a few years. Because Ali, being a mullah, had no common sense in him. Later, the opponents, particularly the non-Arabs, they supported Ali and his gang, because the Umayyad clan or the earlier Muslims were not ready to share any power. They were not allowed to have any right, any share of power. Power was all in the hand of the Arabs. Even Iranians, who had been very hardworking under them and had been running their state, were not allowed to be part of the power. That is why they rise against it. The Shias were created, and they took Ali, and then they start fighting the Umayyads. Ultimately, in about 110 years, Umayyads were defeated, and then the Abbasid came. When the Abbasid came, the Iranians thought that we would share some power, but nothing to them. They kept the same discriminative policies, and that is why the Shia religion was firmly established, and then the Iran and some other areas were following first the Sufism and then the Shias. They are both one and the same, because they were all being discriminated by Arab hegemony and exploitation. That is why we see Shias becoming a force to reckon with, and then later they became as much as 20% of the Muslim world. Today they control many countries. Today they have excelled in many countries, because Shiaism, although a mullah controlled religion, has some human rights, has women rights, has some sense of sharing power. That is why they excelled even in the old time of Muslim history. They created jobs, they supported art and culture, and they made sure that everybody has sometimes something of equal rights. And no discrimination is done against non-Arabs or Arabs, because the Shia countries are basically non-Arabs. They believe in human rights. Although, unfortunately, the current Iran is in the garb of this so-called Arab mullahs. They call themselves family of Ali, and declared the Iran has Vilayat Ali. That means it is the country of the Ali. When it is the country of the Ali, it is an absolute slavery. And then they overpowered everybody. They created a constitution which cannot allow any secular to even participate in the election. And that is why the Iran became weak and weak. And once the most important and powerful country of the Middle East is now a beggar. Same thing happened to Pakistan. When Khomeini came in 1979 in Iran, we had Ziaullah came in 1980. And he was used by Arabs, particularly Saudis, and he sold the country to them for free, without any benefit. He forced the nation with the shit of Islam and thereby declared the country an Arab slave, a Muhammad slave. And on competing with them were the Shias, who declared themselves to be Ali's slave, Ghulam Ali, Ghulam Hussein, Ghulam Mustafa, Ghulam Fatma. I mean, you name it. They did not even allow a sensible name for the nation. And everybody started following Arab names. While the Arabs, they laugh at them. And they tell everybody, look at our slaves. These are our dogs. And we are their masters. This is how much they respect or support non-Arabs. And this is really unfortunate that now we have a country going to be in total destruction spin. It is a spin from where Pakistan will never come out. It has to be history, because the GSQ gang has not learned its lesson, and it is about time that we take care of this country and get rid of GSQ. God bless.